B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as the Saints offseason.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm a California Cajun. With me, as always, is my partner in crime, Lil Dice. How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? So, you know how we do this thing on a beer run? We got 4 downs. We're definitely going to talk about some beer. Woo. We're going to talk about some Saints.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about some changes to the rule book and again, what's going to happen this upcoming offseason. And of course, the slap heard around the world. Okay.
I feel like everybody else is talking about it. We got to get on it a little bit.
Just a little bit, man. So, yep, we're going to get right into it, man. Let's spot the ball. Let's get to it.
First down, Saints.
Let's talk about this beer. All right, Craig, I'm not going to take your stuff about my beer today. Okay.
So what is it? Blueberry this time?
It's not blueberry. Okay.
Blackberry. I'm close.
All right. From Left Hand Brewing Company, I've got a peanut butter stout. Okay.
Ooh.
That's right. I went to the good liquor store and I spent a lot of freaking money. All right. So yes, we're going to try this out. It's my first time, man. I've been looking for these, and yeah, I'm hoping it's really good, man.
Well, I got to say, first off, he and I are drinking from these same Saints pint glasses, so yeah. We're a very themed podcast here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for him. While he's pouring that, I'm going to let you know what I've got going on today. We have Crowd Control Imperial IPA from Southern Prohibition Brewing. It is exactly as aggressive as Crowd Control Imperial IPA sounds like it would be. We're at 8% alcohol. I did not look up the IBUs because I didn't think to. Yeah, this stuff is delicious and kicks you in the face. I only bought 3. I'm going to finish all 3, and we're going to see if I can actually finish this podcast with some of that delicious ABV is going on.
Yeah, mine is out of Colorado. And
I got Houston, Texas on this one.
So mine is like 6.2.
Yeah, no, I'm wrong. This is Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It's a little more southern than I thought.
Oh, nice. Okay. Hey, yeah, you're pretty close then.
Hey.
So, all right. And mine is like 25 IBUs. So, all right. So what's IBUs? What is that for?
Okay. So that's it's a hoppiness bitterness scale, right?
Okay.
So stuff that IPAs and pale ales, they're going to be a little bit higher on that list.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like a Coors Light is going to be real low. I'm going to look up what this one is. It's not as bitter as some of the stuff I drink on this show.
Yeah. So let me get a good little taste here, man. This is my first time, you know, really getting anything like this. Okay. It's definitely stout.
This is an 80 IBU.
I can definitely taste this peanut butter, though. Really, this is interesting.
I hope you can. It's a peanut butter stout.
Yeah, this is interesting. Right,
but here's the real question is, it tastes good. It's got alcohol in it, but how does it sound? Oh, it sounds real good, too.
Okay.
Symphony. Symphony. This is a good beer right here. I will absolutely drink this again in the future. Just tried it for the first time for today's show. And I got to say, it's 2 weeks in a row I've found a new favorite beer. This is good stuff.
Okay. All right. Yeah, man. This is interesting too. I'm liking it's smooth. Okay. It's still pretty smooth for stout. Okay.
See, I'm just excited you're trying something. I realized it doesn't have fruit, but it has peanut butter. So we're still definitely in the flavored beers realm for you, but it's different and it's new and I'm excited about that.
Yeah. The smell is great though, man. I'm telling you, it smells like a Reese's.
You know, if you do like a black and tan with a peanut butter stout and like one of your strawberry beers, is that like a PB&J sandwich?
That's really interesting.
I want someone to try that. If you've tried that, find us on Twitter and let us know.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying this.
Man, that sounds gimmicky, but I want to try that now. That sounds fun.
Second down.
All right. Let's get into some Saints. And the Saints have been making moves like crazy. Okay.
That's not true.
They've been signing people left and right. Okay, one day we got a signing, the next day we got a signing. All right, they're signing people. Okay. But they're signing Tre'Quan Smith. And
that's a good signing. It's solid.
Yeah. I mean,
he's cheap. He blocks. He knows the offense.
Compared to MVS contract, and when you really put the numbers in perspective.
Thank you.
You know, Loomis, you do your thing, bro. Do your thing.
That's what I'm saying. I give him a little bit of credit once in a while. He's good at this thing.
Yeah. And also, we signed the Red Rifle.
The Red Rifle.
All right, Andy Dalton. All right, welcome to New Orleans, Andy Dalton.
I love it. I love that signing, too. That's fantastic.
All right, but there's like a caveat that goes along with that. We probably lost our compensation for losing Armstead because of...
Picks mean nothing. It's all hypothetical.
I don't know how I feel about that part. I don't really want to lose picks, right?
So after today, the quarterback room is kind of... evolved a little bit, right? So another part of the news, quarterback Dennis Allen came out and said that Taysom Hill is not going to be a quarterback anymore. They're going to focus him on tight end. He's going to be more of that joker role. He's not going to play quarterback anymore. So now you've got Andy Dalton in as a solid backup that has been a starter and been a successful starter. You've got Jameis Winston, who's your guy. Now you have Taysom Hill is not a quarterback anymore. You have Ian Book and Blake Bortles. And I think you can hide one of those guys on the practice squad, but the other, you can't keep them both. Mm-hmm. One of those guys are just getting cut.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. Okay. Running the practice squad. You could probably have a guy like Bortles doing that if he doesn't show too much in preseason.
Does that mean that a guy like Book, who's on a rookie contract, he's cheap. He's basically free and can only get better. You're just showing them the door when you're in.
I mean, it would have to be really bad for him to get cut, I think, man.
He can't keep that many quarterbacks, so he doesn't have to be bad. He just has to be worse than the other guy.
Well, I'm assuming like we're going to keep the whole COVID type of rules for the practice squad where they can just, you know, have a really old guy on a practice squad. and so an old guy like Bortles could make the practice squad. Cause I mean, you gotta be really desperate to pick him up if that's what you're doing. And so, yeah, putting him in, you'll be really, really desperate anyway. So
things have happened. If you're playing Blake Bortles,
we were pretty desperate last year though. So I can't
see that's that. How Ian Book saw the field in that game that never should have been played.
Yes. I mean, it does get to that point. So yeah, I'll be happy if he's a number four. But I really want to see Book pushing to be the number two quarterback. I mean, if he's not pushing to at least be number two, we might be looking at a bust right now, man.
Which is why I think the Andy Dalton signing, well, I think it is a good signing. I think it's a solid backup. And it kind of puts you in a situation where if something happens, your season's not over. It does make it a lot more interesting for Ian Book because you, like you said, you want him to be that second guy. You drafted him for a reason. You know, you expect him to develop. You don't expect him to be as bad as he was with no offensive line and no receivers in Miami. But yeah, his spot is kind of expendable all of a sudden, which is why I think that he's a prime candidate for that practice squad spot. Is that you try to stash him away and give him more time. If Andy Dalton's only a 1-year deal, Winston's only a 2-year deal, there's not really any commitments to either of these guys. Right. So if you can keep a guy like Book and he does develop, he does make something happen and become a good quarterback, you still have him around on that rookie deal. And these other guys' contracts are already up anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're saying is Bortles is the guy that's out.
that's what I'm thinking. You know,
there's familiarity with Bortles. He was the quarterback when his head coach was Maroney, who's our offensive line coach.
Yeah,
so he's got connections with the coaching staff. I mean, sure, they're familiar with him.
True.
You know, there's a reason they brought him in the first place. But I think with everything else, he's going to be the odd man out.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so as well. But you know, I am still kind of surprised by the whole moving Taysom to tight end. Like, I mean, it's a strong...
Did you feel he was so bad that he couldn't play quarterback ever again? Like, were you one of the people who thought he was that terrible?
Right. It was not like that for me. Like, I honestly could... You know, make an argument. He's a top 32 quarterback.
There are teams he could start on today. Yes. And I felt the same way. I thought that a lot of the games that we lost with him as quarterback, they weren't just because he was there. If he had Michael Thomas and a healthy offensive line, you have no idea how much better the offense could have been. I mean, it was bad with him out there, but I don't know that it was bad because he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems wild to me that they're just completely unless it's just more about Jameis Winston and that. They're confident in him and they want to have Taysom Hill on the field. And he's not on the field as a backup quarterback. So they want to put him in a spot where he's getting the ball in his hands. Because we've seen he in that role, he's deadly. He's a very dangerous receiver, tight end, whatever you want to call him, in that kind of joker role.
True. But so now you start looking at his contract, right? And that would make him like the seventh highest paid tight end in the NFL, you know?
Pretty moderate, all things considered.
I mean...
And if you talk to Dennis Allen, he thinks that if Taysom Hill puts his effort into being a tight end, that he would be a top tight end.
Yes, the focus, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we've seen how jacked this guy gets when he wants to, when he's playing those other roles. So now that they're giving him the pass to just beef up and be a tight end, I kind of see how buff Taysom Hill's going to get.
You know, that's...
I'm just Mr. Universe in your offseason. It'd be fun.
He does change his body, you know, at will pretty much. So, he can work on
it. It's crazy how much he slimmed down when he was going to just be a quarterback.
Exactly.
So now that he is supposed to be hitting people again, I'm interested in that.
And, I mean, hey, the rumors, you know, kind of floating out there about Malcolm Jenkins possibly retiring, like... DA didn't really know if he's retired or not. Like, he says you got to ask Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah. You know, when he changed his contract and took that big pay cut, I think a lot of people were saying that could have been a sign of retirement. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think so. I thought maybe that was just freeing up space for a Deshaun Watson trade.
That's what I thought.
But now all of a sudden, I mean, maybe. I mean, he costs almost nothing if you got to cut him or if you got to let him go. Yeah. He could end up being a camp casualty as much as he could retire.
Yeah, and I want to say it was like a couple years ago, like he announced he was doing some work with CNN and stuff. So he had like already sort of transitioned to something else off field.
He has been very active in his community outreach for a long time. Right. So it would be a pretty seamless transition for him into that kind of public eye.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, these are like the moves that's been made, you know, pretty recently.
So what you're saying is if he retires, then we need someone at strong safety. Maybe a free agent strong safety. Someone who plays close to the line of scrimmage.
Someone that might be in town.
Maybe he's already in Baton Rouge.
You know,
maybe he's right down the street from me.
Right. Right.
Maybe so, he played here in college. Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to name any names, you know, that I'm not going to say anything on that on this show. But, you know, I think we all think of the same guy, and I think he'd be a good fit.
Could have played with a safety that you just signed the other day, you know.
That's true.
how but weird, like I said,
we're not going to mention names. We're not doing that on the show today. I can get into it. But, you know, if anyone knows where he's staying in town, send a couple beers over there. They're on us.
So, yeah, it's been a lot of, I would say, a lot of uproar on Twitter about the moves that have been made or the lack of moves, the lack of big moves that's been made during the offseason by the Saints. And, I mean, like, when we cleared all the cap space and everything like that, you know, we thought we were getting Watson and everything, we also thought, okay, since that didn't work out, we're still all in to try to win it all and rebuild this roster and let's win another Super Bowl. But other teams are loading up and we haven't been loading up yet. And I mean, can we honestly say that we are ready to compete, you know, for a Super Bowl or for our own division?
Did you think that the Bengals are ready to compete for Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, you could say that they were.
When they, going especially into the season, when, you would have said that?
Yeah, they drafted Chase. They were really high on their
team.
Oh,
that's right. Sorry. They drafted a LSU wide receiver. So, you know, of course, you thought they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Hey, look, he got him there, okay? That's all I know.
No, but that's my whole point is I don't think anyone assumed they were going to overtake the Ravens or the Steelers or the Browns in that division. I don't think anyone projected them to be the top dogs in that division going in. So, yeah, no, there are definitely holes in this team right now, and there's things we need to improve. But I don't think you can just write us off that we're not good enough to compete. I mean, we won 9 games with the most injuries in NFL history last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. Okay, you lose a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You lose a free safety.
Yes.
You gain one of the best wide receivers in football.
Mm-hmm.
You lose Sean Payton.
Yes.
You're going to gain pieces in the draft.
True.
You can't assume as many injuries next year as we had this year because, again, NFL record number of players missing games.
Absolutely.
So if you don't assume, you have to assume that we're going to be better health-wise with the changes we've had in personnel. I don't know how you can make the – I know that you do. I know a lot of people do right now. I don't know how you make the argument that we're worse than we were last year. I don't think that we are. I think adding Michael Thomas and losing Terron Armstead is at worst break even, and I don't think it's break even because Michael Thomas usually plays all of his games.
Wow.
I think if we have a mediocre draft, this team's better. I think it might be better now.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Now, I understand I am a Saints fan living in Louisiana, so I'm a little biased, and I'm going to perpetuate that bias in everything that I say and do. But honestly, you know, it's not as doom and gloom as people want to say. People, meaning, you know, my lovely co-host.
Okay, so the offseason, I would say this is probably like the most optimistic time in a fan base. Like, you just know, you're looking at paper.
Post-draft. Post-draft is the most optimistic.
Okay. Post-draft. Yeah. Okay, sure. But you're still looking at paper. And on paper, everything goes on 100% right. Every one of these guys hit. Okay? And there are no injuries on paper. Okay? Like, that's the way it is. And so, when you compare our paper to the Bucks paper, the Rams paper, you know, take your pick. Like, do you really feel better about our situation than theirs?
Do I feel better about the division champs and the Super Bowl champs than I do our roster right now?
These are the people you got to beat in the NFC.
I understand that. I think that's a fair question if we play our games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But free agency is not over. There's a lot of names out there. And I think a lot of these guys we're waiting on the draft. If we have a good draft and we don't end up getting the receiver we want, I think a guy like OBJ or Landry or somebody, if they're still out there, is going to the Saints. I think there's a lot of good talent who are free agents because their asking price is just too high.
Yeah.
And if the Saints can't fill those needs in the draft because they tend to go best player as opposed to position wise, I think that those are where those free agents are going to go.
Absolutely. There's going to be a second wave of free agency, you know, after the draft and everything like that, when, you know, you don't fill the holes that you want to fill. The Saints don't usually operate in that manner. We're usually
going good players.
Yeah. We're usually going into the draft with no holes and you just draft in the best player. But I mean, the way it looks right now, we're going in there with some emergencies.
You know what, though? When the Saints in 2006 were coming off a horrible year, they won like 3 games. They played home games in New York. Mm. And they went into that draft with massive holes.
Right.
And one of their best players was a running back named Deuce McAllister.
Yes.
So they had the number two overall pick. So what did they do? They drafted a running back because mm-hmm. he was the best player available. I think the Saints decide they want talent over fit, and they will go after the player that they think is the best available. Do you think that guard was the number one most important position for them to add to going to last offseason? Because I don't. But they went after Ruiz because they thought he was the best player for them at that spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the same this year. All of us are saying receiver or offensive line. Some of us are saying defensive tackle. I really do think it's going to be best player available again. That's just what they do.
It is what they do. But I will say I've read something that's optimistic. That was kind of optimistic earlier. And it's that Loomis recognized that we need wide receiver help. And so I was like, thank God he understands. He's not totally ignoring this thing.
Look, I bet a kidney that we don't start the season with only these wide receivers. We are signing somebody or we are drafting somebody. These are not the receivers that will be out there week one with no changes. And I have two kidneys, so I feel confident in making that bet.
Third down for what?
All right. Let's move over to these postseason overtime rules that have been changed for this offseason. And the rules are as follows. both teams will have the opportunity to possess the ball in overtime in the postseason. If the score is tied after each team has possessed the ball, the next score wins. So if you end up kicking off to start the overtime period and you score a safety, you're declared the winner. So there you go. And I mean, I guess like right off the bat, do you want to take the ball in overtime now?
Yes.
I mean, shouldn't there be an advantage in kicking off first to be the second team to possess the ball?
Man, then you can figure out if you want to go for two. I hate it so much.
I mean, you can figure out if you want to go for two to end the game at that point. You know what I mean?
Is that how that works? Because don't they get the ball back and have a chance to go for two anyway?
No. I mean, the team at the end of both teams possessing
who has the highest score wins. If you get the ball second and they score and you score. Yeah, but if you don't get it, then you lose. So it's still
true. You don't get it, you lose. Yeah.
I hate it.
But you still have that option.
So you play to a tie, and after the fourth quarter, you go to overtime, you get the ball first, you score a touchdown, you kick your extra point, and you might still lose. Mm-hmm. I hate this rule. It is terrible.
I mean,
now, usually they only institute new rules when it screws the Saints over. So I'm interested as to why they decided to implement this one when we haven't been screwed by overtime in a couple of seasons. So it's surprising to me that this actually happened.
Yeah. It wasn't geared toward us for once. I don't like it. Number one, it's difficult to explain, you know, to your girlfriend watching the playoffs with you on the couch, but she's never watched any other football this whole year, but now she's watching the playoffs and now you got to explain this to her.
So if we score, right, then they still have a chance to score. But if they score more than we did in that one possession, then they win and we lose.
Yeah.
Even though we scored first.
Yeah, it's bad. When you can't have two drunk guys in a bar explaining a rule, it's too difficult a rule.
At a young age, if you cannot explain your sport's overtime regulations to a layman, then you don't understand that sport well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, none of us can explain it because these rules keep changing. Look, I'm a sudden death guy. You get the ball first, you kick a field goal, the game's over.
Game's over.
But they changed that rule to spite Saints.
That's right.
Because, we wanted Brett Favre. We wanted Brett Favre and Peyton Manning. What the hell are you Saints doing here?
Right. Exactly.
Goodell's been the worst forever.
That's exactly what happened. So, NFL, get your stuff together. Fix your refs, you know, versus.
I know we don't have this on the schedule today. We didn't plan to talk about this, but how are there not professional permanent referees? How are there not people whose whole job is to be referees? They spend the offseason training to be referees, and then they are referees. How are they not 25-year-old dudes with 4.5 40s that can run these plays down? How are they these 60-year-old lawyers who have been doing this for years and have been terrible at it for our entire lifetimes? How is this what these multi-billion dollar corporations doing? How does this make any sense? Yeah. How many millions of dollars are traded and bet and on the line every single week for these games that are decided by short-sighted idiots who only do this part-time?
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Multi-billion dollar industry decided by idiots who don't see pass interference in the 2018 championship game. NFC championship game.
That's right.
Officiating is every year we talk about how bad it is, and every year we refuse to do anything to fix it. They are old men. Old grumpy ass men who most of them never played actual football.
Right. Yeah.
Who are running around getting these big old paychecks in their off season because they're also lawyers and doctors and whatever the hell else.
Right.
And they're not training for this. They're not studying for it. Mm-hmm. It's just what their job is. They're just going to, I'm Ed Hockley. I do bicep curls in the off season. And also I'm a lawyer. Get the hell out of here. The fact that this is not a bigger deal. And that Goodell is still sitting over there and plugged into his machine because he's some kind of a robot and still fine with this is ridiculous. We need professional, actual referees.
We do.
We need them yesterday.
We do.
No, we need them in 2018. Yeah.
For sure. And so, I watched the Gene Stegotor or whatever on Pat McAfee's show. I think it was like last week. And they were talking about the scrutiny the refs are under because, of reviews and all that kind of stuff.
They're bad at their jobs?
Well, he was saying that the refs are indeed getting younger. And what's happening is it's less experience on the field. And that's what we're seeing, the less experienced guys out there.
I reject that explanation so hard and so fast. We've got NFL professional players who are 21, 22 years old now. All right. Mm-hmm. So, your referees are getting younger. They're only 55 now. And they've only been doing this for 20 years. How about you get me a 25-year-old, but this is his only job.
Yep.
And in the offseason, he works, semi-pro games. Or he works in camps. And he works in leagues just to hone his craft. So that when the NFL games are playing, he doesn't blow calls like that cost people actual money. There are real people living paycheck to paycheck who are gambling on these games whose actual livelihoods are being decided by idiots who are bad at their job. I don't care that they're getting younger. They need to get better.
Yeah. To me, it seems like they could referee more practices. I know they come to training camp, but I'm thinking all year, be there to referee some practices and stuff. Cause it should give the teams more opportunity to learn how, officials calling, whatever. You know what I mean?
And I realize I'm coming a little aggressively today, but I think as a Saints fan, y'all can understand that referees are a bit of a sore spot for us.
We hate the refs for sure. Definitely.
Sounds like I need to relax. I'll come back to that later.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Let's get into the video that's been sweeping the nation. Okay, the Oscars have never been so hot. Like, I think I need to watch it next year, okay?
Don't do that. No, there you go.
Mike Tyson's going to be the host. And nobody's going to be coming up with Mike Tyson, all right?
If Mike Tyson's the host, I will watch. Well, me some Mike Tyson.
So, yes, Will Smith slaps the taste out of Chris Rock's mouth. I know everybody's seen that online. So, I guess my question is, do you think it was real or, staged?
So I've been back and forth this a lot. I do think it was real, but I think it was, how do I explain this? I think that he really walked up there and slapped the guy for real, but I think that it was fake outrage.
Okay.
Like, dude, Will Smith is so broken right now. Mm. I mean, he had his wife, emasculate him on TV on their own show about cheating on him and he just kind of took it, you know, and he's going through all this stuff where he's, you know, he was one of the biggest, he's one of the biggest names in the world. You know, he's a huge actor. He won best actor in the same Oscars, and no one's talking about that part.
Yeah.
And he's just gone through so much with this, just this weird toxic, you know, marriage he's got. And all of a sudden this guy makes a joke about his, a pretty tame joke. All things. I mean, I get she was sick, but it's kind of G.I. Jane too. Come on, man. That's a pretty tame joke. This is Chris Rock. This is not the dirtiest or most aggressive joke he's made in his life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
and you laugh at the joke, and then you look over and you see your wife is pissed off. And then you go up and you smack the guy with the weird little open hand. Dude, you trained to be Muhammad Ali. If you wanted to hit the guy, you could have hit the guy. But instead, this weird little push slap. I think that he really went up and did it. I don't think Chris Rock's not coming, but I don't think it was real and that he was angry enough to do it. I think he's reacting to his circumstances and that he may.
Yeah.
I think he could upgrade wives is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I agree with that. First, we don't know the kind of stuff that they're into, you know, that.
Do I make you horny?
I do agree.
I don't think he's into that. I think that was kind of one-sided.
We don't know.
I think she's into that.
We don't know what they're into. but I do agree. Like he's really been feeling like he's been, you know, punked in the media and on social media in general. And so this was the perfect opportunity to make an example of somebody like,
you get to go up on stage, you're in front of the entire world and you get to act like you're a man again when the whole world thinks you're not because someone else is banging your wife.
I'm not going to be a punk and slap, slap, you know,
and everyone in the world has decided that he's a punk by now because we've all seen the memes of him looking like he's crying while his wife explains cheating on him.
Exactly.
And I'm a big man again. I'm going to go on stage and I'm going to slap this little dude that I have 60 or 70 pounds on.
Yeah.
And he ain't going to do nothing else to me because he's on stage.
It's what I keep saying. Like, look, this is not prison. You don't have to go find the biggest guy to fight. You know,
back in the day with Independence Day, MIB, you know, he was my favorite actor in the world for a long time. I was a big fan of his, but this is terrible. It's a bad look. I mean, even if you actually were mad, and I don't think he was, you know, like I don't know. I hate this whole thing.
So I guess kind of diving into that part of it, let's just say, okay, this was actually all legit, right? And so think about, I guess, like your wife, you know, crying or complaining or something about her hair, you know, and having depression, anxiety, whatever she might have been going through with that, right? And then somebody pointing and kind of making a joke about your wife's hair and everybody laughing.
In this scenario,
laughing.
Had my wife been cheating on me and then told me on camera in front of a TV audience? Because I don't think it would have been my wife at that point.
Listen, we don't know what they're into. All right. They might be into this.
You watched the interview, right? He's clearly not into it.
Whatever.
To your point, they stay together. I'm going with your premise.
He's into it.
I'm going with your premise. I'm going to skip that over that part and just, okay. So my wife has a medical condition and her hair falls out.
Yeah.
And a comedian is making fun of her not having any hair, saying she's going to be in a sequel to the Demi Moore movie. I might go up there, but I'm not going to push slap him. I'm going to knock him out. And a 6'2", 200 and whatever pound Will Smith could knock him out if he chose to, but he didn't choose to. He chose to open palm, push him in the cheek because these are actors. And remember, actors are all little girls in disguise.
Now, to that point of acting, all right, I saw some stills, okay?
Where he braces for it.
Yes. He leans forward. His hand is behind his back. He closes his eyes. Will Smith has clearly got his hand back. Mm. All right? So he's prepared for this.
They're both good actors.
Now, I watch WWE like every week. Okay?
Yeah, we know.
And to me, that looks like a man preparing to get slapped.
You think that it's a fake slap and that it was staged? Come on, say it. This is our show. We can be wrong. It's fine.
I'm leaning to believing that this was planned between those two.
It
helped the Oscars. Look, because now we're talking about
the fact that we're talking about the Oscars is absolutely sacrilegious. Yes. The only last time I talked to the Oscars was when Ricky Gervais got on there and told them all how stupid they were. That's the last time I talked. And I work in the, for y'all who don't know, I work in this industry. I work on movies. Uh-huh, and the fact that I still don't watch the Oscars should tell you about what the Oscars have become.
Right. Exactly.
But we're talking about it now. I can completely see it being faked. I mean, it's not like the guy that can't pretend to be pissed off. He won Best Actor.
True.
And Chris Rock's been in how many movies? All of them?
He's been in a lot of them, sure.
I would say, I don't think that a sequel to Madagascar is coming anytime soon. It's him and Jada are both in that movie.
Yeah, you're right. Wow.
I think that one might be on the back burner for a while. Uh-huh. I'll check my DreamWorks guys.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, look, they can write a check and everybody will forgive everybody. And
ask Sean Watson. Money is the only thing that matters.
That's absolutely right. So that'll do it, man, for us on the beer run. So, you know, you guys, let us know what you're thinking. You know, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook.
We'll have an Instagram page by the end of the week. Find us there too.
Maybe.
No, Dale's going to take care of it. Don't worry.
And shout out to Left Hand Beer Brewing Company in Colorado for this nice peanut butter stout, man. This has been good, bro. It's been good. And yours again was?
This is Southern Prohibition Brewing. This is Crowd Control Imperial IPA. And somehow I promise it's better than what you're drinking.
All right, man.
Okay, so for me, for Dale, for the BS and Beer family, thank you guys for joining us today. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bsandbeer@icloud.com. Walk by the 11, 12, 13 Eastside Soldier, Press Park 17. Represent the NO, cause that's where we be. You know who it is, it's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th. Is New Orleans really about it? All the time. The city of New Orleans, number one, no doubt.